Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. Tuesday, we get a job openings number coming out. 7.1 million is where we sit right now. That's as of March number. We'll see if that goes up. Man, I can't imagine it doesn't. Frankly, I hope it doesn't. I've got to tell you, you know, it's a very exciting number. We had a number as high as 7.6 million job openings. It is amazing that we have that many job openings. It's amazing that it's over 6.5 million. Let alone 7.5 million. But anyway, we're at 7.1. Will it go up? I doubt it. I hope after last week's job numbers, I would hope that it is down. The 263,000 jobs that were created, private sector jobs, non-farm payroll jobs that came out on Friday, hopefully this number would be down a bit. But labor participation rate also ticked up a bit, very small bit, but nonetheless a bit. So we'll see. This put into focus, and thus you saw my press release that I put in the newsletter. You saw it if you get the newsletter. If you don't get the newsletter, I'm not sure why you don't. It is just a newsletter. It's not something we use for any purposes but the newsletter, unless we have a very, very, very unique situation. We send out a newsletter every Friday evening, kind of recap the week and give you some news stories that may be important to you. But that went out last Friday evening, and you just go to the website and put your email address in, just sign up for that. It doesn't cost anything. But anyway, I put in there a press release that I saw about me a little bit late. We just barely got it into the newsletter. You saw that. I don't even remember. I don't even know where it was in the newsletter. I assume it was in the body of the newsletter somewhere. But anyway, it talks about something I said a long time ago. It came out apparently as some economist, I don't even know who it was, but there was an economist that put out this alert in reference to, hey, guess what? We've got a problem. Good number, jobs number, but we've got to worry about doing something about jobs. We're going to run out of jobs to keep the economy going, run out of workers. So someone remembering what I wrote about a year and a half ago that was published in town hall meeting saying, Mr. President, your pro-growth agenda is wonderful and we're all so excited about it. That is for sure. I know I was, still am. It's great to have a pro-growth president in the White House. But with that in mind, my words to you were, it's not going to work unless we have workers. And the one thing that's going to derail the pro-growth agenda is going to be lack of workers. I said that a year and a half ago. I said it is time now to start thinking about legal immigration, to streamline it, make it more efficient, update it. We live in a world of real-time data. We can get the information we need. Let's get and open up for legal immigration. We have a person, I know I've said this many times, that works for this ministry. He's working for us in Brazil. He used to work for us here in the studio, but his visa expired. He went back to Brazil, and so far twice, two or three times, the U.S., not Brazil, the U.S. has denied his visa. So he's still working for us by the grace of God. He's able to do that because of technology, but we'd like to get him back in this studio, and this is a young man who wants to assimilate and be a part of America. He wants to be here where there's opportunity to grow. He loves it here. And this is where he wants to be. Can't get him here. And so there are tens of thousands of Giulianos, that's his name. There's tens of thousands of them all around the world that desperately want a better life for them and their children. They want to come to America. They want to assimilate into America. And I said back then that we need to begin to get legal immigration working efficiently and effectively. And we've been spending so much time on illegal immigration, which is critically important. We need to do that. I'm all for it. But at the same time, we are seeing this being derailing the economy. And for some reason, now there are these economists that are just now seeing the freight train coming down the tracks. Well, that freight train's in right in front of our face right now, and it's going to be pretty hard to do anything about it at this point. But nonetheless, we better get started as soon as we possibly can. At least it might help some. President Trump just put out a tweet, another tweet. The United States has been losing for many years $600 to $800 billion on trade, with China losing $500 billion, our trade deal with China. Sorry, we're not going to be doing that anymore. No reason to be sorry, but maybe instead of being sorry now, we would have been maybe a little bit more diligent about getting a trade deal done sooner, or at least telegraphed the fact that we aren't quite as far along on a trade deal as we originally thought we were. That was being factored into the markets. Now we've got to deal with this downtick. The beauty of the downtick is, though, obviously it's all because of President Obama, since they're all claiming that the economy is about President Obama, right? That's what they've been saying. Now, that's the big thing. That's the weekend talking points for the Democrats. Well, this is President Obama's economy, which is the most comical thing. Saturday night, I could do a whole skit on Saturday Night Live. If they want to call me, they can. I mean, this is ridiculous about it's comical that it would be, you know, he spent 6 years blaming George Bush, seven years blaming George Bush for everything that went on, never took ownership for anything. But now he wants to take ownership for an economy that, trust me, he didn't create. All right, here comes our ag report. Let's see where we are with commodities. And we'll be right back after Craig Haugart with our ag report.
This is Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, yesterday's afternoon's tweet threatening more tariffs on China has commodity prices sharply lower in the overnight. Now, on Friday, the grain market was a mixed bag, with many contracts finishing the day higher. There continues to be rain and normal temperatures in the forecast for the next couple of weeks. And today's crop progress report is estimated to show the corn planting probably anywhere from 33 to 35% completed, which is behind the five-year average of 46%. Now, last week, corn was a winner as July futures gained 9.5 cents for the week. But as I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 8 cents lower and basically erasing most of all of last week's gains. Soybeans continued their downward spiral on Friday. Soybeans closed lower every day last week as the trade wars continue to drag on. Prices are further pressured by bumper crops in other countries. And the overnight trade spot soybean futures are trading 18 cents lower. The wheat market traded lower to end the week. Weakness in wheat was probably the result of end-of-the-week profit-taking, though there's still a large stocks-to-use ratio for wheat as well as weak export sales. In the overnight trade, Chicago is 6 cents lower, while Kansas City is down 8, and Minneapolis is trading 4 cents lower. Cotton futures had a slow session, with July futures down 22 points to close at 75.68. In the overnight, they've gotten hit very hard and trading down 157 points as we record this, really right up against that support level in the July futures at $74 that we mentioned last week. Livestock futures were very unimpressive on Friday. June live cattle were 25 cents lower for the day, while August feeder cattle were down $1.52.5, and June lean hogs closed unchanged. Class 3 milk futures had a nice session, with June futures closing up 23 points to settle at 16.58, and the overnight trade spot futures are just trading 1 point lower. In cash markets, choice beef boxes were $1.44 lower at $2.27.36, while selects were $1.79 lower, settling at $2.13.29. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $1.91 lower for the day as they settled out at $82.01. This has been Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. 844-707-5533. By the way, if you have a question on Facebook, you can put that up as well, and we will get to your questions. By the way, I just saw a headline. Warren Buffett indicates that trade war is not good for the economy. Well, that's good. I thought I was worried. So, we know that. And I guess the trade war that they all said was going to happen didn't happen. Or if it did happen, it ended up being a beneficial thing, not a bad thing. And I guess, you know, all the doom and gloomers are coming out talking about that once again. Anyway, we'll see how that goes, but we kind of suspected that. 844-707-5533, but I appreciate Warren Buffett's insights. 844-707-5533. Let me go to the phones. Let me go to Melissa. Melissa's calling us from South Carolina. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Dan.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm listening to your conference calls, and sometimes you'll say, okay, if you're up 40%, what do you want? So I've got those three stocks there listed for you that I wondered if I should take some profits on, and I have five more I want to know if I should dollar cost average in on.
So if what's your asset allocation model? What age group are you in there, Melissa?
I'm doing the 45 to 55, but I am 55. I just plan to work for a while, and I think my pensions and Social Security will, you know, cover what I need. And I'm 22% cash right now, so that's
why. Oh, good. That's great. You know, yeah. I don't know. You know, HC46, I really struggle with that one. It has done so well.
47.
I'm sorry. I struggle with that one. I think it is, I think you ought to hang on to it. I mean, if you're in it, it sounds to me like you've got a long-term time horizon. You're able to weather a little bit of a storm because you have such a long time. If you're going to work another 7-8 years and you feel like your pensions and such and your Social Security and all that's going to be adequate for you, so it shouldn't be that, you know, it should be okay. It should be okay. So I would keep it. I really like this stock. Has really just shocked me as to how well it's doing. Look, it's never, ever, ever a bad thing to take profits. If you take your profits and the market comes tumbling down like it is today and it keeps going, you're going to feel really, really good that you took the profits. It gives you a sense of security and a sense of, hey, you know what? My money's working for me. That's all that matters. And that's why I recommend in volatile times like we're in right now that we take those profits. So it's never a bad thing. And I would say the same for IT24 and CS36. Again, these are companies that never a bad thing to take the profit. The only thing that I would worry about on HC47 is you might not see you now reduce the amount of shares that you have. So if it does continue to run, you miss out a little bit. And that one's probably got the best chance of doing it. So anyway, I would just sit tight. I mean, I would take profits if you want to have that buffer, want to add to that cash position, feel good about the monies that you have. You don't have to sit and watch these go back down again. That's one of the reasons I do that, because it affects, it gives you a negative mindset about investing, and I don't want that to happen. So if you're over that percentage that I'm asking, that if you're over to take the profits, then I wouldn't have a problem doing it with any of them. But you are very long term, and that kind of might change it a little bit. But just keep in mind, it's never a bad thing to take them. It can be a bad thing to hang on to them for an indefinite period of time, because any one of these could crash at any given moment, stay down for an extended period of time. So that would be an issue. I don't think any of them would crash and stay down for an extended period of time without coming back up again, but it's just something to think about.
All right. Then I have five. I want to know if I should dollar cost average in on MA 20 and 37, E45, I28, and CS27.
Have you dollar cost averaged before?
No, I've taken profits on E45. The rest of them, I'm down anywhere from 18% to 37%.
So you've taken profits on E45. I would be okay dollar cost averaging into that one, for sure. But the rest of them, I would say no. Because I think that they are, you ought to just wait a little while. Some of those are down significantly, and you want to buy them dollar cost average on an uptick. So I would wait until you see a 30-day positive movement that are still be below your original investment, and then you can dollar cost average down.
For a quick question for you. I have $40,000 in my HSA. Should I invest any of that? I just max that out every year, and that money's just sitting there.
What kind of insurance do you have? Yeah, high deductible insurance?
Right.
Yeah. I would at least invest half of it in something like a Ginnie Mae fund or an inflation protected bond fund. Probably Ginnie Mae right now, maybe end up with a 2%, 2.5% return. If it goes down, it's going to be a little bit less volatile than something else. You might want to consider doing that, but I wouldn't want to take too much risk on it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Dan. All right, I
Melissa.
Love you.
Thank you. I sure appreciate it. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let me go to Jay, calling us from Virginia.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Greetings to God's Mammon Man, one of the few to handle it without being overcome by it. Do you remember that from your visit to Grove Avenue Baptist here?
I do.
I just wanted to make sure that do you have to automatically sign into Medicare in order to get your Social Security now?
Yes. You still do. So you have to sign up for Medicare to get Social Security benefits. Now, we are pushing for President Trump to, by executive order, do away with the executive order that tied those two together that Bill Clinton did. We don't think the two should be linked. And if you want to go to, along with everybody else listening, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org, there's a petition on there, says Trump on it. You can sign that petition. We're going to continue to present those petitions to him to hopefully motivate him to put that executive order in place sooner rather than later. But until then, you've got to sign up for Medicare.
Thanks, Dan. Lord bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jay. God bless you. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Jeff. Jeff calling us from Michigan. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to let you know that I've been watching your show for a year and a half. That's funny. A year and a half, and I just love it, and I try to tell all my friends about it.
Thank you.
Anyway, my question for you is, I'm retiring in 2 months. I'm trying to look for a general idea of where to put my money. Say I have $400,000, and I'm kind of like questioning what to do with it. And somebody mentioned taking $100,000 of that and put it in an annuity. And I'm kind of afraid of annuities. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I trust them, but that's where I'm at. Do you have any advice?
Are you going to use this money, Jeff, to help supplement your income?
Yeah, I'll get a Social Security, and I will need probably $20,000 of that a year.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking.
So,
or $16,000 of it a year. So
I would put it in. I would start developing an income portfolio. That income portfolio should be able to be very close to generating the amount of money that you need to live off that money without dipping into principal. And that's what you ideally want to do. You want to be able to generate the income from your principal. That you know, instead of withdrawing principal, just generate that income. That takes away the risk of outliving your money, because if you're dipping into principal every year with your money and the markets go down or something happens where that value of that money goes down dramatically, then you could be, you'll be in a place where you'll never recover that by any kind of investments. And I wouldn't want to see that happen. So I would recommend that you look at a income portfolio that's going to generate 5 or 6% a year.
All right. So you're like, that's like strong dividend, you know.
Yes. So that's really strong dividend stocks, some dividend stocks in industrials and materials, energy, but mostly they'd be utility stocks and maybe some preferred stocks and some real estate investment trust. And that will generate the income you need. So that would be the thing you need to do, Jeff.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. We'll be right back. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. And you can queue your call up if you want to do that. In the meantime, we're looking at the market still very much in negative territory. We'll see if that's... will get worse or not. Right now, it kind of is holding its own. We haven't seen a lot of changes. It's well off their lows. It's gotten better. We're right now hovering just over the 1% down area. We were 1.5% down. At one time, we were almost 1.75% down in the NASDAQ. So it is coming off their lows. People are taking a deep breath. Goes to confirm what I said at the top of the first hour, that is this just knee-jerk reaction? It sure looks like this could just be knee-jerk reaction. So anyway, we'll see as the day goes on what kind of impact this is going to happen. Maybe the president will try to calm markets and say something that might be of some help. All right, let me go to David. David's calling us from Louisiana. Hey, David.
Hey, man. I just started listening to it on my way. I'm driving this truck, and I really, really like what you're saying here. I'm on a different kind of level of where everybody else talking. They're established, but I'm trying to get established. I just opened up a little small company, and I'm trying to find out the best way of attack is going to junk removal and office cleaning work. And I just want to try to get your opinion on that, sir.
Well, I think there are two great, great places to be starting working in. One obviously will complement the other. You're doing one job, maybe you can do during the day or have, and a lot of the other kind of cleaning work is done in the evening. And that's very, very good. It's easier to work with. And when the weather gets bad and you can't do the stump removal, which is a great business, just requires, I guess, a little bit of equipment. Maybe you rent that, but I think they're both good businesses. I would suggest to you, David, that you would, at some point in time, it's not a priority, but I do think it would be a good idea to open up an IRA account and somewhere, either at the bank in a CD or savings for now, but maybe open up an IRA account at a brokerage and start putting a little money aside every month in a very easy, make it easy. You don't have to get complicated. You can use a couple of ETFs to do that with and set that up and just contribute, even if it's $10 a month, as you plug along and grow your business. It would be nice to begin to develop that discipline if you have a little bit of money going into that IRA, and that would be beneficial. The other thing that I would suggest to you is always make sure that you have working capital. And I would tell you that your working capital is not investment money. It is always just savings money. Your working capital ought to be sitting in your checking account doing nothing. It's not going to earn any interest. Don't even worry about it. It's your working capital. You use it. You have a piece of equipment that goes bad and you got to replace it, you need working capital. You have to, maybe you start growing and you've got two jobs going on at once. You use your equipment, you got to rent a piece of equipment. It's your working capital. You have to hire a couple people for a few days. You've got working capital. So always continue to build up your working capital. Build both those businesses gradually and slowly, and you'll be far better off than trying to grow them too quickly, because the only way you're going to grow them quickly is to have to get in some kind of debt in order to do that. If you can avoid that, then you ought to do it. The greatest piece of advice I can give you, and it's one of the hardest things to do, maybe, but one of the greatest pieces of advice I can give you is try to tithe, on the income that you make on what that company brings in, as the company should tithe on their first fruits as well. And that'll be an incredible blessing to you, I know. So, the one thing I try to tell people is take it slow and easy. It sounds like you're already driving a truck for somebody. That's good. Try to maybe get to the point where you're doing as much as you can organized while you're still working at another job. Maybe you take that job and you cut it to part-time, so that you can do part-time in your own business and grow it that way, and you'll be so far better off in the long run.
Wow. That's just like, I asked God for that this morning to give me an answer, and you answer everything that I really need to hear. And I really appreciate you, and I will start continuing on listening. And what I got out of that is pretty much pay my company before I pay myself.
Yes.
Make sure I grow.
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate you, sir. Thanks so much.
All right, David, thank you for calling, and I appreciate it. I'm so glad you found the program. And yes, keep listening. And if you have a phone app and you download our phone app, Financial Issues, or you can always go on our website at financialissues.org, because you might say, what did he say? I forget, or did he say this or say that? And you can always go back and listen to that little spot, and you can hear that. But thank you, David. God bless you. Be safe out there on the road, brother. Let me go to John. John calling us from Florida. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning. Okay, I'm just looking for 5% returns on my money, and I've done a lot with real estate, and that's been good for me, but I wanted to diversify a little, and my broker got me into preferred stocks.
Okay.
So far, so good. But, I've got about 12 of them. I'm making between 4.5% to 5.5%. They all are callable at 5 years, and they're all attached to LIBOR. Like, all of them, it's like 2.5 plus LIBOR or 2.75 plus LIBOR. So, I would be making more if they didn't call it than if they called it. And, well, what's the downside to this? I mean, there's got to be a downside.
Well, I mean, the downside when you're, first of all, when you're tied into an index, there can be some downside because the 5% may not be a definite. So the preferreds that I have on my list are individual stocks. They're individual companies. They're not tied into anything. They proclaim what their guarantee return is, and it never, ever changes under any conditions. Now, the bad side to that is you might get a better return because of the LIBOR rate, but the LIBOR is not one that I'd want to be tied to. I can't speak to the kind of preferreds that you have because there is probably some downside to that on an individual preferred stock, a company that is issuing a preferred stock. There's only one downside, and that's if the company goes bankrupt. Aside from that, there isn't any downside as long as they're purchased right. You make sure that they're cumulative. Unfortunately, most of them are continuously callable, not callable in 5 years. Most of them are continuously callable. That can be a bit of a downside, or maybe not. It kind of becomes irrelevant if you're buying them at the par value. If they call it, they call it. You move on to another one. It's not that big of a deal. You get your money back. But so you're doing a little bit of a different situation than what I talk about on a regular basis. What I talk about on a regular basis is far more consistent, a little bit different than what you're doing. So I can't really, to be honest with you, speak to all the downsides, but I don't like anything that's tied into the index because there's always something in any kind of index because there's always something that is being left out. So if you're looked at an index, well, it's tied into stocks, it's tied into growth, but it doesn't include the dividends. I've seen it really bad that it's tied into just the dividends. And that's in the fine print. You don't see those kinds of things. So you couldn't follow me and ever be in 12 preferreds. I'm sure I have partners that are in 12 preferreds over the years, but I just don't have that many on my buy list right now. The good solid ones are getting harder and harder to come by, and that is a problem. You got to do a little bit of homework. So I'm working at that all the time. And the other side of that would be real estate investment trust, good conservative real estate investment trust. I'm not a huge fan of them. I'd rather have preferreds. But that would be another way for income. And the other side for income, I think you're making a mistake if you're not looking at some good solid utility companies, utility stocks, publicly traded utility stocks. You can get 4.5% through a utility stocks, maybe even 5%, good solid ones, and have great opportunity on top of that of some growth. You're not going to get like growth through the roof growth of 15-20%, although we have some of those today, but that's just a fluke. It's not the way it's supposed to be. They're going to grow at 5 or 6% on top of the earnings you receive. So I think, regardless of what you're in, any one thing that I think is really secure, I still want people to be diversified, to still have other areas of the market. So be careful. Make sure that you're looking at some REITs, a couple REITs. I'm not crazy about REITs, but I do have some very specific ones that I might recommend, and some utility stocks, some good paying utility stocks that are good, solid companies. And I think that'll help you. We'll be right back, folks, right after this. We'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. We've got another hour and 15 minutes, another hour and 10 minutes left. If you want to queue your call up, do it, 844-707-5533. It sure is nice being on the phones and not worried about this delay. Ah, it's great to be back in the studio. 844-707-5533. So it looks like Canada's markets are dipping as well, along with ours, as would be expected. We're so intertwined. So Canadian markets down as well. They stand to lose a little bit more if we continue to get hurt by more prolonged tariffs. I think Canada ought to be worried about what Canada and the U.S. is doing. If they're being hurt, it's primarily due to probably what they're not doing there. We still don't have Canada signing on to this new trade agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Mexico signed on. We've already heard from Congress this morning here in the U.S. They're not going to put it to a vote. Of course they're not. They're not going to give this president a victory. That's the last thing they're going to do. So this is that do-nothing Congress that I talked about. It doesn't matter because it's going to be over shortly at the end of in November of 2020. I'm sure that Republicans are going to win a majority again, because I am absolutely certain that after what we've seen in these last 2 years, that we're not going to sit back and stay home from the polls again. Yes, it's not just about re-electing President Trump. That's not it at all. It's also about the idea that we've got to gain control of the House of Representatives, or all the pro-growth plan in the world is pretty worthless if you can't get anything done from a legislative perspective. And we got to win this House of Representatives big. Let's not elect any more socialist, Marxist, fascists into the Congress, please. We don't need any more anti-Semitic views. We don't need more divisiveness into the House of Representatives. Can we make sure that we vote that out as quickly as we voted it in? Can we just chalk it up for losing our minds for a moment and staying home and not going to the polls? We've got to get to the polls and make sure this doesn't happen again. So it's critically important as we think about the pro-growth agenda that we've enjoyed for the last year and a half, we've got to continue to enjoy. And the only way that's going to happen is we're okay. We can probably hang on by the skin of our teeth with no legislation happening between now and the next election. That's fine. But we can't go another cycle with no legislative process happening. So it is time to make sure that we decide. Now, maybe you want to be a socialist. Maybe you want to have a dictatorship. Maybe you want to have a monarchy. Maybe you want to have a fascist communist regime. Maybe that's something that sounds appealing to you. That's fine. But you are in the minority, if it is. And you're welcome to go vote for that because you're in the minority. But you will quickly not be a minority if everybody else stays at home. So your victory that you had last November was a temporary one, as we decided to rest on our laurels a little bit, and we're very excited that we got the president that we wanted. So we need to keep that in mind. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Ron. Ron's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Called in a couple times, but I only get to listen on occasion. But I just got a little concern for you. I just hope you don't. You know, we all appreciate what you do and like to help and everything, but don't want you to extend yourself too much and affect your health or your family or anything like that. So,
well,
we appreciate the effort, but, you know, take care of yourself and your family, too.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, sometimes I need that reminder. Sometimes the Lord smacks me across the head with a 2x4 and wakes me up as well. But I get where you're coming from. And you know, we have a great opportunity here, Financial Issues. And every week I get someone tugging on me to do something or to get out of this, what I'm doing now, and move on to something else, which that's never going to come from any person or people. It's only going to come from the Lord if that happens. And I believe I'm exactly where the Lord wants me. The Lord confirms that to me all the time. And he has blessed me with strength and health, which I'm very thankful for. But he's also wants me, I know, to be a good steward of those blessings. And I sometimes don't do that. And so I appreciate you saying that and giving me a reminder. Thank you, Ron.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't the whole purpose of my call.
Yes.
I just retired last April.
Okay.
And my 401k that I've had with the company now is, you know, something I should do something with, I feel. And I have a financial advisor that I've, you know, trusted for a long time. He's helped me with everything, and a good Christian guy. But he has offered a couple different plans that I could roll that money into with an outfit called Voya.
Yeah.
And over, you know, the returns over the last 15, 20 years look pretty good. I mean, like 8% on the one plan and maybe a little less on the other. And I asked him the other day, how do I know they're biblically responsible? And he said, you know, he hadn't really asked that question, that he would, and he's going to do that. But do you have any cautions about something like that? Or
yeah, well, none of them are biblically responsible. And I, so Voya, I know Voya, and none of them are. They're not biblically responsible. But you know, aside from that, I don't know. I would think real. I don't know what you want to accomplish with your 401k, but if you're doing it for the income and you want to go into annuities, that's what he's offering. He might not have used that word, or might not have said it. Might have only talked about funds. But keep in mind, and I say this to everybody listening, it's got nothing to do with your financial advisor. It's got nothing to do with Voya or any other mutual fund company. But keep in mind, when illustrations are being made for you, for anybody, they are going back, because we don't know what the future holds. But we can look at funds and see what the history has been. And that gives us a little bit of insight, not tremendous amount. It gives us a little bit of insight. And when they're running illustrations, they're always picking the best funds when they run an illustration. And so what they're saying is 10 years ago, these are the funds I would have put you in. Or they're saying, these are the funds that have had a great track record for the last 10 years, so I'm going to put you in those funds. Doesn't mean they're going to have a good track record for the next 10 years. As a matter of fact, it oftentimes means just the opposite. They're already the ones that have made the list or on top. Sometimes they're as high as they're ever going to be, and they've got nowhere to go but down. So I'm not saying that is the case. I'm just saying that we always have to be cautious about that. But if you want to be biblically responsible, you're probably going to have to take a very, very different approach. But one of those approaches needs to be that you're going to be, if you want income, which it sounds like you do, since that's what they suggested to you, but if you want income, I would say that you're very, very well diversified, that you're in a number of individual kinds of things so that you have that diversification. You don't have all your money in you know, any one pot. You're not depending upon the insurance company or with an annuity product, that you're well diversified in some individual things. so that you can be not only get some security out of the diversification, but have an opportunity to manage the diversification. So if you have one stock in all of your stocks, maybe you have 35 stocks and you have one that is up 40%, you have the freedom to sell out of it and pocket that, because again, there's a stock that has already risen to the top. Maybe it has nowhere to go, and you sell out of it and you pick up something that might be closer to the bottom, but yet still paying good income. So I think it takes a little, when you're managing for income, there's a lot more to think about. When did you say you were going to retire, Ron?
I have retired.
Oh, you have retired.
April,
okay.
Yeah. April 1st.
So it's critically important. The one part that I do agree with, I think it's important that you roll it out of where you are. But, you know, the reason why I tell people to roll it out of where they are is so they have the world of investments open to them that they can diversify in. You don't want to be limited. So you don't want to move it into something that is a limited situation like an annuity, where you're back to where you are right now, very limited as to what you can do and how you diversify. That would be a mistake. You want the freedom of liquidity. You want to get out overnight if you need to. And you want the freedom to say, you know what, I'm putting it all in a money market or a CD for 6 months till the dust settles and what crisis might be going on. So just be very, very careful and well thought out in that diversification process. Sorry, Ron, I got to run here. I'm up against the end of this hour. Folks, I sure do appreciate all of you being with us. If you've got to leave us, remember, all that you have is his. Let's stand before him someday, be found a good and faithful steward with all that we have. A lot more financial issues coming up right after this. If you got to leave us, have a great day. God bless.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.